and the New Testament is John 21, verses 1 to 14. Of the various purposes of the post-resurrection narratives in the four Gospels, we might highlight two. One is the matter of Jesus' vindication. With the post-resurrection narratives, Jesus is vindicated. All that he previously has said and done is declared to be right, good, and true. To this matter, we also should add the post-resurrection narratives' consideration of the enduring ministry of the church. Matthew 28, then, concludes St. Matthew's Gospel with the Great Commission. The fifth chief part, similarly makes reference to John 20, verses 22 to 23. And then, with its consideration of the office of the keys, the small catechism asks the question, what do you believe according to these words of John 20, verses 22 to 23? We are given to respond, I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, when they do such things as remitting and retaining sins, including and excluding, these things are just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. So the post-resurrection narratives are also about the church's future ministry. To this, then, we might add also from John in chapter 21 as well, verses 15 and following, the exchange between Peter and Jesus. Jesus asking Peter three times, do you love me? Peter, of course, responding, of course I do. To which Jesus then adds, feed my sheep. And it might be entirely appropriate for us then to understand this directive of Christ specifically with reference to the church's future ministry as well, a ministry of feeding the sheep. Between John 20 and chapter 21, verses 15 and following, then, appears this most intriguing text, gospel, which we are given to read today. And the question, our question might be, or will be, what is this text about? So let's read and attempt to make at least some brief observations about the possible significance of this text. Verse 1. Mata tauta ephanerosen. After these things, he manifested, that is to say, Jesus, manifested himself again, heauton palen, tois mathetais, to the disciples, epi tes thalases tes tiberiados, at the Sea of Tiberias. In John 6, the Sea of Galilee is also referred to as the Sea of Tiberias. Ephanerosen de houtos, and he manifested, we might insert himself, in this way. Verse 2, eison hamu Simon Petras kai Thomas ha legomenos Didymos kai Nathanael. These guys were together, eison hamu, Simon Peter and Thomas, who was called Didymus, and Nathanael, ha apa kana tes Galileas, Nathanael, the one from Cana of Galilee. Cana, of course, in chapter 2, is the location of the wedding feast, the first miracle of Jesus. Kai hoi tu Zebedaiu, and those of Zebedee, we know from the synoptics that they are two, James and John, but they are never named in this gospel. John, of course, the evangelist, is anonymous throughout this gospel, and so is his brother. So John's here, but he is anonymously described as one of these two guys, along with his brother then. Kai aloi ekton matheton autu duo, and two others from his disciples. So together there are seven, interestingly enough. Verse 3, lege autois Simon Petros. Simon Peter said, that's present form, but probably here an example of the historical present, something that John is quite fond of. Simon Peter said to them, hip ago hale uein, I'm going fishing. I am going to fish. Legosin auto, they said to him, erchometha kai hemes sun soi, we are going also with you. Ex aelthon kai en ebeson eis ta ploion, they departed and embarked. Embino really kind of means to embark, that is to say, get into the boat. Kai en ekene te nukte epiasan uden. And in that night they seized, piazzo, caught nothing. Verse 4. Pro ias de eide genomenes. Here we have a genitive absolute. Pro ias, the noun in the genitive, with the participle genomenes, also in the genitive. We just might take that temporally. When it was already early morning, este Jesus, Jesus stood, eis ton aigealon, at the shore, on the shore, u mentoi eidesan hoi mathetai. Mentoi there is the particle, although they did not know, the disciples did not know, hote Jesus estin, that it was Jesus. Verse 5, we're kind of moving fast because we have 14 verses in about 10 minutes. Verse 5, lege un autois ha Jesus. Jesus said therefore to them, paideia, children, me te prosphagaon echete. Here the question expects a negative response. You do not have, prosphagaon is an interesting choice of a noun, and it is a hapax legomenon in the New Testament, which makes it all the more difficult to render, but it seems to be a fairly general reference to something to eat. That isn't often kind of conveyed with English translations, which tend to run a little too quickly specifically to the matter of whether they have fish or not, but really the noun here is a fairly generalized reference to something to eat. So you might translate, you do not have something to eat, do you? Apakritheson auto, they said to him, ooh, no. Ha de epen autois. And he, there the definite article kind of recalling the previous reference to Jesus, said to them, baleta, the imperative, cast eis ta dexa mere tu ploiu, ta dictuon. Cast onto the right portion of the boat, the right side of the boat, the net. Kai huresete, and you will find ebalon un. They cast, therefore, kai ukete auta el kusai ishuan. Ishuan there is an imperfect of ishuo, to be strong, and they were no longer strong to draw hel kusai it, auta, referring to the net. They didn't have the strength to haul it in. And actually, the following context seems to make clear that actually the net and the fishes remained in the water. They never did get it into the boat. Apatu plethus ton ichthuon, on account of the multitude of the fishes. I'm kind of inclined to translate fishes here, even though I think English calls for fish, because of what follows, actually, and we'll kind of come to that. 7. Lege un ha mathetes ekenos hon agapa ha Jesus to Petro. That disciple whom Jesus was loving, it's an imperfect and kind of a challenging one there, agapa, said to Peter, ha kyrios estin, it is the Lord. You might think of Thomas' confession in chapter 20, my Lord and my God. Simon un Petros acusas, after Simon Peter therefore had heard, hote ha kyrios estin, that it was the Lord, ton ependutein, de adzosata, he put on the outer garment, ein gar gymnos, for he was naked as a jaybird. Probably doesn't mean that, actually, or may not mean that, actually, that he was entirely naked, just that he had probably stripped down to his loincloth. Kai ebalen heauton eistein thalasan, and he cast himself into the sea. You might wonder why he would do that with an outer coat on. It may be that this was not actually over his head. It may be that he, that the water only came up to his waist, chest. It would not be uncommon to go fishing in fairly shallow waters. So he's not necessarily swimming to shore. Okay, 8. Hoi de aloi mathetai to ploi ario eilthun, and the other disciples came with the boat. Ugar eson makran apotes geis, for they were not far, makran, from the land. Ala hos apa pechon de akazeon, but were, you might supply the verb there, about 200 cubits distant. It's an idiomatic way of expressing distance here. Surantes ta dictuon ton ichthuon, dragging the net of the fishes. Hos un ap ebesan estein gain blepuzin. You would want to translate hos here probably when. When, therefore, they disembarked, they've embarked and now they disembark, to the land, they saw, another historical present, anthrakean, a charcoal fire, the same noun that's used of the charcoal fire in chapter 18 in the courtyard of the high priest, where Jesus is judged by the high priest. Kemenein, lying there, kai apsaraon, and, now here it's singular, which intrigues me, a fish, or is it a collective, just fish? Epikemenon, kai arton, also singular, fish and bread, or a fish and a bread, lying on top of the charcoal fire. Lege autois ha Jesus. Jesus said to them, Enenkater apa ton apsa rion hon epeasate nun. Bear from the fishes, now plural, which you now have seized. Apparently referring to the net. 11. Anebe un Simon Petros kai helkusen ta diktuan. Simon Peter therefore embarks again, gets into the boat, it seems, and dragged helkusen, the net, eistein gain, to the land, meston, full, ichthuon, megalon, full of great fishes, hekaton, pentekonta, trion, 153. Kai tasuton, onton, another genitive absolute here, probably concessive. Even though there were so many, uk es histe ta dictuan, the net was not schizoed, torn. Lege autois ha Jesus, Jesus said to them, dute aristesate, come, have some breakfast, seems to be the force of the verb here. Udes te etalma ton matheton exetasai auton. And none of the disciples were daring to inquire or ask of him, su tis e, who are you? Eidotes hote hoc kyrios estin. Maybe a causal participle here. Because they knew that he was the Lord. Erchetai Jesus kai lambane. Jesus came and took ton arton. Now here it's an interesting question still. Is it singular or is it a collective? Is it a singular bread or is it, you know, the noun used as a collective? Kai didosin autois and gave to them. Kai ta apsaraon homoios and the fish likewise. Tuta eide triton ephanerothe Jesus tois mathetais. This, looks like we need to supply the verb to be, this was already a third time ephanerothe, Jesus was manifested to the disciples, agerthes, probably a temporal participle, after he had risen from the dead. Here that aorist passive, again, I think we mentioned this the last time we looked at a Johannine text, the aorist passive here is probably active and intransitive. What in the world is this text about? Between John 20 and John 21, verses 15 and following. Well, many have suggested that the gathering of the fishes into the net is also indicative of the church's ministry, that this is the disciples being fishers of men. I find myself attracted to that suggestion. We would think of texts like Matthew 4, 18 to 20, Mark 1, verses 16 and 18, and perhaps especially Luke 5, verses 4 to 11, especially verse 10, where Jesus says to his disciples after they have gathered fishes into a net, from now on you will be fishers of men. You will gather men, he says. It just may be that John is after this too in this particular narrative, which leaves us with the interesting problem of the breakfast. And just very quickly, because I know you all have to go, There's only one other context in the gospel where bread and fish also receive consideration, and it is in chapter 6, where the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes takes place. And in that chapter, Jesus, it seems, interprets that multiplication of the loaves and fishes with reference to himself. He suggests to the crowds and to his disciples that they should understand his deed in terms of his own giving of his own flesh, which will be in that giving the promised gift of the bread of life. Flesh and bread in the multiplication scene, because Jesus' flesh is the very bread of life. Is it possible? Is it possible to kind of consider that this breakfast scene then in chapter 21 is about the same sort of thing? Well, I continue to ponder that possibility, and so I suggest it to you. These fishes that they eat are given specifically by Jesus and are not the same fishes as the fishes gathered into the net. The text makes that quite clear. They are of the same kind of flesh, and yet they are distinct, and it is specifically Jesus who takes and gives. It makes for an interesting possibility between chapter 20 and the exchange between Peter and Jesus, also having to do with feeding now, that this breakfast scene is also about a